Johnson Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. And good morning. It is 40, a balmy 40 degrees under gray skies, but I understand we're gonna clear up a little bit today, a little bit of sunshine, 53. Larry's with us here.
Hey, Green Thumb Nursery. In another, 60 days, 40 is going to feel real good.
Oh, golly. So what do we plant during freezing rain periods, Larry? I'm going to plant myself on a couch.
it's difficult. Well, yep. It's time to think.
Yes.
In the wintertime. It's time to plan, time to think. So anyway, because spring will get here.
It will.
Yeah, so anyway, good weather for October, not bad. Been a little dry, though. You guys really haven't...
The water spout's coming.
Haven't really done too much to make it get some moisture in the ground. I know it is hard as a rock in some place. We're doing some work up on Circle Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Man, we had to bring a pick and a sledgehammer.
But a nice view.
Yes, at least. Yeah.
You have plenty of time to look at it. So anyway, to move.
Some refreshing rain coming on. We really need it. It's been almost a month since we've had any appreciable rain.
True.
So don't get too much rain. I got projects open.
Okay.
Exercise a little bit of moderation, if you will, please.
We'll tell the power.
Anyway, golly, great time to plant trees, shrubs, pansies, and spring bulbs. Time to prune those trees and shrubs, too.
Okay.
You have all winter to do it. So, And some perennials, if you have peonies and iris and daylilies and monkey grass and many others, good time to separate those too. Because they're kind of bedding in for the winter, and then they'll be able to rest all winter long after the shock and the trauma of being relocated. Then they'll bounce back up in the spring and do just fine. So be sure to have plenty of root sow in your divisions. And don't anticipate all of them making it. Most of them will make it okay. When you divide your perennials, but you're going to lose a few. So.
Got to take it easy.
Yeah, you have to take it in stride, too. It's last time to plant fescue grass seed. This is the absolute positively last time to do it. And we don't have very much left at the nursery. We did very good selling it this year, which is the timing is just right to be out because it's almost too late.
Almost too late.
Too late well, if you put some, it'll sprout and you'll have a fine hair stage before it gets really cold. And fine hair stage is when it first comes up and the grass blades are real thin. And when they get to be broad blade, it's hardy enough to tolerate the cold, but we just don't have that. It's just not enough time for that right now. So if you really need to do it, go ahead. But don't expect a lot of results. Anyway, so it's last time to do that. It's still time, though. We got rain coming on pretty soon. Perhaps you all are pretty confident that it's going to rain on Monday.
Well, yeah.
So, we might want to consider giving that fescue grass that's already established, or even some new fescue grass, a bit of fertilizer. I wouldn't waste the money on fertilizing the Bermuda grass, though, because it really won't utilize it. The Bermuda grass has slowed down to the point where it's just kind of crawling, if at all. So I wouldn't worry about it. Don't get slickered into buying winterizer for Bermuda grass. It was winterized about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it's about ready for. And by all means, don't scalp the Bermuda grass at this point.
Not going
to
be worth.
You might run the mower over it one more time just to even it out a little bit. But if we do have a cold spill come through, a really cold one that is not preceded by precipitation, then you could have some damage on your Bermuda grass.
Don't want that.
Because if we have an anomalous weather pattern, i.e. cold, you get some spotty dye out on your Bermuda grass. But if we have a whole lot of snow and it's relatively warm, you get spring dead spot if your soil is heavy. So whatever. Flip a coin. The key thing is, though, you can lower it down just a little bit and tidy it up a little bit, but I wouldn't go out of the way to scalp the Bermuda grass. That's a spring thing. So, anyway, good time to fertilize those trees and shrubs. Getting back to grass, it's a little bit too late for pre-emergent herbicides on your Bermuda grass. The henbit and the chickweed have already sprouted. down in the soil.
They're there. Yeah.
It's there already. So some guy came into the nursery yesterday, and I said, well, you're about 30 days too late because it's already up. And it's up in that it's real in a real small stage right now. It's just if you don't use any herbicides on your grass, you kind of pull the Bermuda grass aside, you'll see some, especially close to the edge, you'll see some little sprouts. Mm-hmm. And that's the hen bit that's waiting for it to warm up, and then it just grows. So it's sort of like crabgrass. It kind of sits there for a while in the spring, then it just takes off and it gets warm.
God,
so,
yeah.
But anyway, it's already sprouted, so... you can, if we have a warm spell in the wintertime and the Bermuda grass is dormant, you can apply some Roundup to that to knock it out when it starts to come up while the Bermuda grass is dormant.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Late February, early March, it's getting too late for that. So if we do have and it does happen. Mm-hmm. My daughter is born in December and it was 72 degrees when we brought her home. all the stuff Mama knitted, you know. So, okay, it's nice. We'll use it.
February, maybe.
Yeah, but anyway, so the weather's so variable here in the wintertime, you just don't know. So anyway, in the wintertime, when the Bermuda grass is dormant, it stays dormant, even when we have a warm spell. Mm-hmm. The weeds tend to really grow. Then you can control it if you miss the boat on the pre-emergent right now. Mm-hmm. Okay? On your vegetable garden, the tomatoes will probably meet their demise ultimately maybe tonight.
And
you want to clean them out pretty much. You do want to get rid of the tops, if you will, of your tomatoes because they do carry fungus and stuff from one year to the next. Mm-hmm. And insects overwinter very well in the egg form on the tomato leaf stems and all that. Mm-hmm. So you want to, if you have a really good compost pile that gets good and hot, you go ahead and do that. But otherwise, I just roll them up and pitch them, if you will, because you don't want that next year.
Nope.
But it is time to get that soil ready. It's too late for turnips, too late for spinach. You can probably get some lettuce, maybe. Anyway, get the soil broken up. Get it open and exposed. And the wintertime, the freezing and the thawing, does a great job of loosening up the garden soil. Mm-hmm. So leave it rough throughout the winter. Okay, so that's kind of what's going on in the garden right now. Mulching is very important also in the garden right now.
Mm-hmm.
A 2-inch layer of mulch. We have a good deal on at the nursery, the bargain. That's not a bargain, it's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
The
a difference.
The bulk
this is a
mulch.
Great value.
The bulk mulch. Yeah. It's a lot less expensive. There's no bagging involved with it. And I really think at this point our bulk mulch is of a better quality than that which is in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a truck that will just dump it on your driveway.
It's here.
Yeah, there it is, clunk. Okay, now what do I do? Time to get to work. Yeah. But anyway, the bulk mulch is a really good value. And you do want a good layer of that, not only for the appearance of the shrubs in the wintertime, but also to help control weeds and to reduce the water loss associated typically with cold spells in the winter. If you do, your shrubs can stress out a whole lot if the ground is dry when it gets cold. So you want to try to moderate the water loss a little bit with some mulch.
Cool.
Great time to get it. And just phone. You don't have to come by. Just
call and we'll deliver.
Yeah. Our little Bobcat has a 10 cubic foot, 10 or 12, somewhere between there, cubic foot scoops.
Mm-hmm.
And you can determine how many scoops you need by your square footage. So. Mm-hmm.
Just do the math. Make
do
a
the
call.
Math. That's right. I need 35 cubic feet of mulch. Okay, fine. We'll bring it out.
There you go.
Okay. So, also in your vegetable garden, if you had blossom end rot on your tomatoes, perhaps the soil's a bit heavy or it could have a calcium deficiency, it's always a good idea to add gypsum to the soil. Our soil has a tendency to compact pretty bad, as I know firsthand. So it'll help loosen up that clay. And also I add magnesium sulfate to the soil, or Epsom salts every year, and the tomatoes seem to do very well with that too. So almost time to put the mower to sleep. And we can discuss that if you want. But anyway, we can. What I'd like to do is pull the spark plug out of it.
Yeah. Empty all the fuels.
Empty all the fuel out, and make sure you don't use ethanol in your fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did, well, you want to get it. Make sure you get it drained out.
Ooh, yeah, you don't want that sitting over winter.
No. It corrodes the aluminum carburetors real bad.
And yeah.
Then That's blast the thing won't start gur. In the spring, so you run it until it runs out of gas, mm-hmm. and then take off the spark plug, put some oil in it, pull mm-hmm. the rope a few times, get that oil all mixed in there, and it'll do just fine the next year.
There will.
So very easy to do, actually. Those little engines are very precise little machines, but that's very little as far as maintenance is concerned.
Tough little buggers.
And if you do need a tune-up, you might consider having it done in the fall. But yeah. There's not a big line to have that done. If he does, most of them don't need a tune-up. They just need a spark plug. Pretty simple things. But the blade sharpening, if you want that done, you might as well get that done at this point, too. So when it's time to do the scalping, your machine is ready. So we'll talk about changing the oil in it later on in the winter, early in the spring.
Yes.
So anyway, put the mower to sleep if you haven't already. And anyway, at the nursery, though, we've got lots of pansies and violas, mm-hmm. as you saw from these pictures here.
Oh, yeah, Larry brought his phone full of popping pansies.
Popping pansies, yeah, anyway. So for those of you with color radio, you can see it right
here.
Yeah, so, anyway.
No, I mean, really, those are spectacular. You got to go down and really see them, folks. They're really nice.
Really, the nandinas and the burning bushes are starting to exhibit some good color right now. We have encore azaleas are blooming. I went to a customer's house. We did in Osage, and their encores are blooming right now. I'm very happy with them. So, wow, I got fall color on my azaleas in the fall. Imagine that.
There you go.
And they also bloom sporadically in the spring and throughout the summer when the weather shifts. But nonetheless, they're doing very well. The encores and the bloomathons do a very good job of exhibiting color in the fall. So they're right now. And be sure to plant them in all peat moss. So anyway, it's kind of a surprise to see these azaleas pop out in the fall.
A nice surprise.
Right. Also, it's the best time right now to plant spring bulbs, pansies, and violas. Mm-hmm. At this point.
Got to change your bulbs.
I guess so.
I'm here all week.
All right. Cool. Also, landscape. You might consider having a landscape plan done. And I can do that.
Larry's got one of the coolest machines.
I guess so.
Little CAD machine. Zip, zip, zip. Next thing you know, wow, my yard can look like, yeah, yes, it can.
Yeah, and usually it does, too.
So
just text us a call, set up an appointment if I can come out and look at your yard, take a few pictures and measure it and talk to you. It's very important that we have a little bit of a conversation.
Sure.
So I can find out maybe what you expect in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can get something to more or less match your needs. And the needs of your property as well.
Yeah. You don't want to be just digging around on your own. Whoops.
Well, it's not only that. It's an expensive proposition. You don't want to make any mistakes.
No, you don't.
So, and this way we can, if you're not happy with it, it can be changed. Sure. You don't have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Larry, what can you do about this and this and this?
Mm-hmm.
So, sure, let's pull it up. Right before your eyes.
Right there before you. It's like magic is what it is.
No, not really. But anyway, it's time to plan that. And you get an estimate and all that, too, with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a few of them I got to ship out. I like to do it over the email.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good presentation because you can see the graphics and all that. If you try to print something out, you just don't get the feel for really seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can transmit high-resolution images. Might take a while to load up, but...
Well, worth it, though, because you see what you're getting. Yeah.
That's right. So, and estimates, too.
Okay.
Typically, I do the estimates on a spreadsheet, and they can be easily manipulated to suit your needs.
Wow.
Okay.
That's amazing. All it starts with is a phone call, and how do they call you, Larry?
Just call the nursery, 333-4091, and say, I want to have Larry come out, and then they'll put me on the book.
Mm-hmm.
And we're usually... We're actually very prompt about being on time
mm-hmm.
for our appointments. It's just a high priority is to be on time initially.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very good. We're going to take a little time out here. We're going to be back in just a little bit. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program. It's 8:22. Back after this 2-minute timeout.
Tim from United Rentals. We rent construction equipment. We rent equipment to homeowners. The big thing for this area for us, we call it the weekend special. You rent something on a Friday afternoon, you keep it for the entire weekend, bring it back on Monday morning. It's a one-day rental. It doesn't put a lot of pressure on you to get the job done. You can kind of do it at your own pace, especially being homeowners. You only pay the one-day rental. Works out real well. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 No Water Road, United Rentals.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
It's all treats in October when you shop Roman Chevrolet Buick, your Silverado City headquarters in Independence. Save more than $8,000 on a new 2020 Chevy Silverado 1500 with crew cab, short box, four-wheel drive, all-star edition. Looking for pre-owned? Roman's has a 2015 Chevy Silverado 1500 LS with low miles for only $22,404. Visit Silverado City, Roman Chevrolet Buick at 2313 West Main in Independence.
K1 TV is now on your Apple TV. Watch Bartlesville Bruins and Pawhuska football right from your home on Apple TV with the K1 TV app. Just open the App Store on your Apple TV and search K1 or Bartlesville. Watch past political forums for the upcoming election, Bartlesville and Pawhuska football games, and more content from K1TV.com. Now on Apple TV. Download K1 TV today.
Hey, that Oompa guy is back in town here, Larry.
Oompa, Oompa, Oompa.
Great Country Gardener right here.
Okay. Well, we talked a little bit about what to do in the lawns, mm-hmm. and vegetable garden. We'll touch on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, that leads us up to what kind of a tree do we want to discuss this week?
If I were a tree.
There is one that's starting to exhibit some really good color.
What's that?
And that is the Chinese pistache.
Like the one in your yard.
Yeah, like the one I dug up out of my plant. Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah.
Looking great.
Anyway, originally from Eastern Asia, the Chinese pistache is really beautiful, deciduous. It's a dioecious tree.
Ooh.
For those of you in the know, you know what I'm talking about. For those who you don't, male and female are on separate plants.
There you go.
So, anyway. And it has a bright green leaf in the summertime, and in the fall though it's alternately and pinnately compound leaf. It looks a little kind of ferny like, if you will, the leaf does. Mm-hmm. And turns orange, crimson orange, red in the fall.
Nice
it's
color.
Its primary attribute is the fall. But what I really like about this tree is it does well in terrible soil. It seems the worst soil conditions that you can have, it seems to do the best.
Well, there you go.
The car wash over at the Limestone Phillips Station. Mm-hmm. There's one on the east side of that. Beautiful tree. Absolutely beautiful. You know they do nothing to it over there. There's no irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on top of solid rock. It's completely ignored and neglected, and it's a beautiful tree. And then they go to people's houses where they pamper it, and it's got problems. So what do you do? I mean, so... So the Chinese pistache gets about 30 feet wide, about 30 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a huge tree by all means. Mm-hmm. Not to say that you can put it under utility lines, but nonetheless, of the trees that are out there, it's amongst the smaller of the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a drought very well. I find it does very well in shallow limestone soil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for that reason, it does very well here.
Mm-hmm.
So you might consider the Chinese pistache for something, for a shade tree. We are going to get some the Henry I male varieties.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old male review. If you're into that, I don't know.
Not that kind of show, Larry.
Yeah, but anyway, these the males are of the Chinese pistachio.
Okay.
The ones that you really want to have, mm-hmm. because they don't have all these seed pods and whatnot in the spring. They're less messy, too. And so I got lucky with mine. It happened not to be a female tree. Mm-hmm. And it's not messy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the flowers are the... Chinese pistachios are somewhat aromatic, red-green flowers. They appear mid to late summer. And if there's a male nearby, then they have this red fruit, which I don't like in the fall. When it forms an umbrella-like crown, the tree does. And it can grow 50 feet tall, but mm-hmm. here it gets about 30 feet or so in here
sure.
because of the conditions. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it tolerates dry drought, salt, and heat. It has a fibrous root and has really no common disease problems. So it's excellent orange fall color. It's a good city tree. A lot of them planted in the downtown mm-hmm. in the little squares and the thing. We planted some too downtown in these little squares. You look outside those squares when you dig the hole. There's mm-hmm. just gravel.
Good heavens.
And plumbing and wires and stuff. So really, they really don't. They're not growing in a lot of soil downtown, mm. and they're doing quite well. So it kind of ugly when it's young. That might be its main drawback. It's trying to sell these things because they don't, it's kind of like a red bud. We get these red buds in, they're all turned one side. They're just not pretty trees when they're young. And I tell people, these branches just, you know, in 10 years won't even be here. Mm-hmm. Because you'll be hitting your head with a lawnmower when you're mowing the grass. okay, that's fine. and you look around and how many ugly red buds are out there when they get to be a certain size, and how many ugly pistachio. There's not very many.
No.
So anyway, so it looks a little ugly when it's young, but it'll grow out of that eventually. So anyway... It is a member of the Anardiaceae family, and which is a cashew. So it's just a good hardy tree. It's very drought tolerant too. So you might consider the Chinese pistache as a shade tree, perhaps in an area where it's kind of difficult. And if it takes a bit of effort to get a hole in the ground, perhaps this is one you might need mm-hmm. for that situation.
When you're digging and stuff like that, who do you call in order to make sure that you're not going to do harm with your very sharp shovel?
We do installations. Uh-huh. I planted one yesterday, a pistache tree. Uh-huh. And they're so thrilled because it was in full color. It was uh-huh. really nice. And it was out of town. And we had to put it in the truck very carefully so the wind doesn't blow all the leaves off.
Yeah.
I didn't want a disappointment when we got there. So we made efforts to keep the leaves, the red leaves on it, and put it in the ground. It looked so nice. Mm-hmm. And it was a young one. It's kind of spindly, but it's starting to show a little bit of shape. Mm-hmm. A little 5-gallon tree. So they were very happy with that.
Good.
So anyway, our shrub of the week is barberry. Japanese barberry, Berber thumbergi, is the most popular of the landscape barberries. Mm-hmm. Barberry family incorporates a wide variety of plants. Mahonias mm-hmm. are related to barberries. Nandinas are related to barberries. And of course, barberries are. But mm-hmm. anyway, it's a very broad base. The Berberis genus is a very broad base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, and it does very well here too. It's a very popular landscape plant because of its color. Mm-hmm. You can get the leaf color can be green, it can be orange, or yellow, or red.
Mm-hmm.
It goes anywhere from 3 feet tall to 6 feet tall and up to 7 feet wide, depending on the cultivar. It's a medium to very dense with many thorns.
Thorns?
No. So get you some gloves. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless... The leaves are, of the generic barberry, the leaves are bright green in color and changing to orange, scarlet, and reddish purple in the fall. The Japanese barberry is deciduous, and it is one of the first shrubs to leaf out in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this is a kind of a broad-based species. There's one they call the Julienne barberry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hardy here. It grows well south here. No thorns. Excellent plant. the ones we have here that are hardy, that are kind of like that, are the William Penn Barberry. Mm-hmm. And the name Penn should be P-I-N.
Oh, because it has stickers,
real nasty, deadly thorns on it. But it does exhibit some red leaf color in the fall, and the berries are kind of nice on it. But it has these stinging thorns.
Ooh,
on
gosh.
But anyway, it's a very, I don't know how many of these I've pulled out. But,
but anyway, count over the years.
The William Penn Barberry is extremely tough, hardy, disease, insect-resistant plant. But if you need kind of a low mass in an area, that might be one to consider. If you, mm-hmm. if you want a plant you really don't have to mess with, except maybe take the hedge clippers in there and just shear it down once in a while. It's a good plant to have. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I like it. And it does have a little bit of blueberries on it. Mm-hmm. They're not edible or anything.
No.
But the yellow flowers in the spring, too, are kind of nice on it, too. So anyway, the barberries across the board do have the yellow flowers on them. And now and then you will get some red berries, which are present at this point in time. But the thorns are the main drawback. If they can breed the thorns out of the barberry plant, maybe put a little julienne with the red barberry, then you might have something, a thornless barberry.
There you go.
Okay. So anyway, that's covers a wide range of plants. Now
it does.
Typically, we don't think of Nandinas as barberries, but they are. And the common denominator between the barberry plants and the Nandina is the color of the wood down below the bark. Yeah. Barberries typically have a very yellow wood to it. You cut it, it looks like a bright yellow. Nandinas share that attribute, as do the Mahonias. And together they are, they do share the same durability attributes and insect resistance and so on.
Very good.
So it's not necessarily a particular plant, the barberry, but a species of plant that you might consider is the Berberis family. Mm-hmm. And it does cover a broad range. Good plant. Very little care. No bugs.
No bugs. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Back after this 2-minute timeout.
K-Life is a community-wide, interdenominational Christian ministry of discipleship and fellowship for youth and their families. Through a variety of activities, K-Life kids grow in their faith and have lots of fun in the process. Speaking of activities, Frederick LaLanne with K-Life has this special invitation for everyone.
You're invited to the annual K-Life Dodgeball Classic, October 25th from 2 to 6 o'clock at First Westland Church, Bartlesville. How to sign up? BartlesvilleKLife.com. See you there.
K1 loves birthdays. Each morning, we announce all area birthdays, and one name is chosen to receive a certificate for a birthday meal from Dink's Pit Barbecue or Sterling's Grill. If you or someone you know has an upcoming birthday, give us a call, 918-336-1001. Give us the details. We'll announce their name and maybe choose them as our daily winner on our K1 Birthday Club.
Happy birthday!
Peter's True Value wants to remind you it's time for fall lawn care. Reseed your lawn now with Phil's Mix. Phil's Mix is a blend of 10 different varieties of fescue grass that grows in the sun and even in the shade. Start reseeding your lawn today with Phil's Mix. Only available at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Stop in today for all your lawn and garden needs at Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage and Highway 75 in Dewey. Open Monday through Friday, 8 till 7, Saturday, 8 till 5, closed Sunday. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
BartlesvilleRadio.com is your source for what's going on in the community and around the world. Click on BartlesvilleRadio.com and check out local and national news, upcoming events, lost or found animals, listener birthdays, anniversaries, up to the second real-time reports, and of course the latest news, weather, market news, and local sports scores and schedules. If it's on the air locally, it's on BartlesvilleRadio.com. Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com.
Ah, it's Oktoberfest, right here with the Green Country Gardener, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass is with us. Larry?
Hmm.
How are you doing over there?
We were talking off the air about Kaloki.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the dig line.
The dig line, yeah.
Dig it, man.
We're talking about all these trees and shrubs and bulbs and things, but it's a good idea to before you do something, have these things, these utility lines flagged.
Yeah, that would be good.
In all this digging we've done, there's been a few cases where we had them flagged, and there are one or two lines they didn't quite catch.
Mm.
And if you have it flagged and you've got well, I do it online too. We get a printout. Mm-hmm. What's going on too? And if you have that, you have to have that with you when you're doing the work. At least evidence that you did it, or if you're clear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to hit something, and you did put in for a flagging on the property, and you did specify the front of the backyard, I don't think you're liable for damage. I know that firsthand because. We were putting in a sprinkler system and hit a 500 pair of cable.
Wow! Hello!
Oh, I forgot. I forgot to flag that. I said, here's my number here. So they had to repair it. Yeah. And I know of one guy here in town who was doing some trenching for a water connection.
Mm-hmm.
And this plumber, he knew there was a fiber optic line down there, but they didn't flag it.
Ooh.
And he called them up and said, hey, guys, I know there's a fiber optic line. I'm getting ready to put in a plumbing line. I need you to come out and make sure this line is not here or is flagged so I know where it is so I don't break it. Well, it turned out it was there, and somebody got in big trouble for not flagging it.
Oh, my.
I mean, it was like the big one that feeds the whole city, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Coming down there. Oh. And it's happened before when your internet quits. You know, what? You know, what's the matter with this thing?
Somebody didn't call Oki.
Somebody broke the fiber optic line down south of town. They didn't call it. And oh my goodness. And we were doing one in a backyard in a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it was the day of the inauguration.
Oh.
In 2008. And everything was flagged, right? The first shovel he put on the ground hit the cable line. Somebody came out all mad. You cut off my line. I was watching the inauguration.
History in the making.
I said, well, okay, sorry, but here it is all flagged, but they didn't flag this one. So the cable came out and fixed it. But I said, okay, I've got a pocket knife. I'll get you going until the cable guy gets here.
I've done this before.
Yeah, so we got it put together. And anyway, it's very important to have those, because if, say, along the back of the fence, there's the main line that feeds everybody else in the neighborhood. And that's where people really like to put things like crepe myrtles and maiden grasses and burning bush and things for some screening, some interest. So you don't have to look at a fence.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
True.
Well, that's where all the main lines are. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure those are flagged. Mm-hmm. And we were going to do a big tree in a neighborhood one time in this guy's backyard. So we better call and have it flagged. Oh, there's nothing back there. No, we're going to call and have it flagged. Mm-hmm. Well, it was not only just one line, but there's three, four, five.
Oh, my.
And we couldn't get the tree in because there's not enough room between the lines to put in this big tree he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, we'll make you a deal. We'll give you a refund on the tree, and we can put a smaller one in that we can get in between these lines.
Okay.
So they said, okay, whatever, that's fine. So we switched it all out and put them in a smaller tree in, and everything worked out okay. But you just really have to know what's, and there's a lot going on. It's not only your line that's cut off, but you might cut off the entire neighborhood or your neighbor's house.
You'll be real popular then.
I was watching the football game. You out there planting a tree? I can't watch it. Now what? So anyway, the Call Oki, they have a webpage.
Yeah.
It's a Call Oki.
Yeah.
Just Google Call Oki and it'll be there. And you go through the steps and you can put in, as a homeowner, you can do an online flag request. And I find I've had really good luck with the online thing.
Mm-hmm.
They come out and we did a project this week. I started one and we called. Give them some time too. They're a little slow right now with all this virus stuff. They're kind of slow about getting out there. So instead of taking 2 days, you need to give them a bit more lead time.
About a week or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's say that's what they say, about 3 to 5 days or so. It's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you get give your email address, you get this report, all the stuff that's going on your property. You wouldn't believe some of it. Good God.
There's a whole lot going on
there. There's a whole lot going
there.
On there. And the place looked, fortunately, where we were working, there weren't any lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, everything else is just a jumble of stuff. So it's very important to do that because you never know where those lines are. You might think, oh, I think it's over here. Whoops. I should have called. So plan ahead. It's very important to plan ahead, just like you plan ahead with a landscape plan or a, or a home design and architect's design of the house and so on and so on. You got to make sure you know what's out there before you start.
Very good.
So anyway, we talked about the Chinese pistache and barberry, and these two plants have an excellent fall color and even some summer color. Let's talk about the flowering kale.
Okay.
Flowering kale is, quite often we overlook some of the really showy plants for season color in the garden. One plant that which fits that description, of course, is the flowering kale, which has very attractive leaves in the fall and early winter, even into the winter time. If you guys can keep the cold away, they will
working on it.
Exhibit color real well. And the more sun, the better they do. Anyway, the attractive leaves of this plant range in shades of pink and rose, magenta, white to creamy yellow. The outer leaves are often in shades of blue, gray, green to bronze. There's really lots of color in these things. And we get people, what do I do with these? Well, put them over by the front door or something. When all the periwinkles are gone or something.
Sure.
It gives you some really very intense close-in color right in that zone right in there, too. So these plants do give you some really, really good color.
Good.
And they're kind of attractive and ruffly appearance and so on. Anyway, flowering kale is a species of the kale family, but it's also known as flowering cabbage.
Okay.
I was watching Star Trek.
Yeah?
Silicon Avatar. One of the adventures, and there was Riker eating a piece of flowering kale. Like they're on this foreign planet, you know, like people never saw this stuff before. I said, I know what that is.
Yeah.
I see that a lot. And some bloopers, too, on these on these shows. When they're supposed to be in the snowy winter, and there they are around a bunch of olive trees. That's crazy. Anyway, the flowering kale is very decorative in the garden. And the attractive leaf heads are also showy in flower arrangements in the home. And it's attractive for borders and bequeaths very effectively in groups of 3 to 5 or more plants. It's a good plant for a container and window boxes, et cetera, et cetera. So it gives you some really good, and it's fun to compose around with this thing, with the pansies and the kale and maybe some grass plants too. The differing textures and colors you can get in a pot or an arrangement in the garden. It's a really good plant. It gives you some interest in the winter. You don't have to go out and do it everywhere, but just a little bit of it here and there as you areas you or your guests frequent, be something nice to look at when you come in.
Very nice.
It's a good plant too.
We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden Mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of 5-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
In Africa, 5-year-old Charu has no choice. She and millions like her must walk miles every day for dirty water. But together, we can end their walk by providing clean water close by. Instead of spending hours walking to get water that makes them sick, girls can be in a classroom that expands their minds, and moms will gain back time to care for their families. Sons and daughters can grow up strong, finally free of sicknesses caused by dirty water. At World Vision, care about clean water runs deep. Deep enough to reach one new person with clean water every 10 seconds. Because every child, every person, everywhere deserves clean water and the chance to rise to their full potential. It's true. When you just add water, you change a life. Learn more at worldvision.org.
Anniversary coming up? Call K1 at 918-336-1001 or email radio at BartlesvilleRadio.com with the names and dates, because each morning we announce anniversaries and select one couple to win a $10 gift certificate from Sterling's Grill, helping you celebrate that special anniversary. Call us 918-336-1001 or email radio at BartlesvilleRadio.com with the name and date, and we'll add it to our list. Happy anniversary from your friends at K1.
coming.
All righty, we're back.
we're talking about guessing the rain. It's so funny. Yeah.
Is it going to rain or is it not going to rain? Well, Larry's hip says it is, so here we go.
Yeah, when I'm starting to walk a little strange, the guys look at me and say, Larry says it's going to rain. We better.
You better need some talcum powder. 848.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
It's the Green Country Gardener Program. 1-800-749-5936. Your call.
Anyway, the flowering kale plants, they come in a. Some of them come in a fairly large container, which is kind of good because the soil here really isn't suited for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they really need a good soil. They do very well in a loose type soil. The root system on it is very tender and doesn't really venture out very much. So they don't work in the clay. You can't get your drill and put them in the ground that way. So they need So anyway, that's an interesting plant to have, and I really like it for its color. The animals kind of like it too. So you might have a bit of an issue with rabbits and things.
Munchy.
But I found that the Morganite does a pretty good job keeping them out of the way. They don't like that stuff.
No.
And it's cool enough now you can put blood meal on your pansies, and they really, really pop out when you do that. It's a very good, quick source of nitrogen for them, too. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, perennial of the week is kind of a wild one. Anyways, Parthenocissus quinquefolia, otherwise known as Virginia creeper.
Okay.
Now, why are we talking about this one? Well, you go down the road, you look up into the trees, there's all these red leaves close to the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, that's a Virginia creeper. Last week it was really showy. This week it's still kind of showy. It really hadn't gotten cold enough for the leaves to fall off yet. But that's what that is. Virginia creeper is kind of a wild plant, and the Parthenocissus is a genus that shares that the Boston ivy shares also. Mm-hmm. Parthenocissus tricuspidata is the Boston ivy. Mm-hmm. So and it climbs up and it has five little suction cups at the node. And it has an adhesive on there that attaches to a brick or stone or whatever. So
that's how that works.
It doesn't have aerial roots like English aerial. The English ivy has an aerial root which penetrates into the bark, and it can suffocate a tree. But Boston ivy, the Virginia creeper, is attached with the structures with adhesive. I think it's the same stuff they put in the cars together with. You know. But anyway, it attaches in a unique way like that, and it's when you do get it up on your house, you pull it off, you get these look like little puppy dogs who climbed up the wall.
We get a little bark
from where
in
these
there.
Suction cups or these glue cups have attached to the house. So it's a native plant, and it has its place. It looks real pretty in the trees, and it doesn't really harm the trees. It is it's in the grape family, so. The fruits are really not good to eat, but they're enjoyed by many species of wildlife. They really like those, and they kind of perpetuate the species when they eat the little seeds off of it. So, and some people mistake it for poison ivy.
Oh, well, my.
Yeah, the poison ivy used to be a sumac, related to the sumac in the species in the botanical classification of it. It was considered a sumac, but it's not anymore. It has its own genus and species now. It's a toxodendron is the name of it. And the poison ivy is showing color too, so don't mix up the poison ivy with the Virginia creeper. The poison ivy has three leaves on it, one of which looks like a mitten, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three others. It looks a bit like the bean does too. So that's how you distinguish that from there. And the poison ivy has aerial roots on it rather than a
suction cup
suction
thing.
Suction cup kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty cool plants too. But so that's kind of how you, one way to distinguish the poison ivy from the Virginia creeper is with the leaf shape primarily and the roots and the branching root structure on it too. So pretty cool plant. It can get out of hand. It can cause real problems. I see some houses just covered in the stuff. It looks great in the fall.
Rest of the time, not so much.
Yeah, it's not much. In limited amounts. I have a little bit of it on my fence, and I pull most of it off and just let some of it come on the fence. Not much. So you just kind of give it a good tug, pull it off the fence. It'll come back with little ones again, and it's kind of attractive when it does have that fall color.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of a pretty plant, too, even without the fall color.
Just don't let it overwhelm you.
Don't let it get the way to curl it, just give it a good yank, and that's how to control it.
Oh, my goodness sakes.
So, anyway, that's for a Virginia creeper. Roses, on your roses, time to cut back to flowering stems where there are about 5 leaflets, typical on roses. The roses are showing some really, really good color right
they
now.
They are.
We planted some Grand Champions at a house this week, and they're really showing some good color. The knockouts are somewhat of a knockout at this point, too. If you did cut them back in August, they're really putting on a really nice show. It'll be time to cut them back pretty soon, especially the knockout roses, those that have survived the rosette's disease, which I kind of think is on its way out a little bit. I haven't seen as much new incidence of the rosette's disease as I have as the old one is still there. If we have a cold winter, the rosette's disease isn't as hardy as the rose disease affected stems are not as hardy as the just the rose stems without the disease.
Got it.
So they a lot of times they die off in the winter, and sometimes the rose can survive too. And there are some good examples of knockout roses here in town that are doing very well. And these generally are in an area that is not surrounded by asphalt. Sidewalks or a warm house or something. That's because the mites that carry the disease really like warm areas like that. I have some really nice looking knockouts on the north side of my house. They're away from the house. They get some afternoon sun when it shines on them, and they're shielded from the midday sun by some fruit trees and whatnot, and and a star magnolia and all that. So they're kind of shielded from the real heat during the heat of the day. In the afternoon they get a splash of sun, but they're not close to the house. And that's true in a lot of cases where the knockouts are doing well. They're away from concrete structures and things like that.
Very good. We're going to take this last break, and we'll be back with Larry Glass right here on the Green Country Gardener after this 3-minute timeout.
Frank Phillips, the old man with barbed wire nerves and the courage of a wolf, didn't realize his own capacity to love until after the death of his dear wife Jane in 1948. He no longer heard her laughter in the mansion in town, nor enjoyed the long drives out to his beloved Willow Rock, where they would often go to share an evening dinner. After her death, he found himself waking to the cold reality of her absence and confided to others that his soul ached. More and more of Frank's time was being spent at the ranch, sitting on the front porch of the lodge and enjoying the magnificent view and likely reflecting back on an incredible life of personal and professional accomplishments. However, without his wife in the chair next to him, these simple joys became shallow to Uncle Frank. After her death, those around Frank soon discovered that he had one desire, and that was to build a mausoleum at Willow Rock to serve as a final resting place for Jane and himself. He had picked out the spot years before, a favorite spot that overlooked one of the beautiful lakes that dotted the grounds of the ranch. Inspired by the memorial built for his good friend Will Rogers in Claremore, the mausoleum soon became the primary focus of Frank's life. Once construction started on the mausoleum in 1949, he personally came out every day to see how work was progressing. Frank wanted it within walking distance of the lodge, yet not directly in the public eye, which is why he chose the site above Elk Lake, one of his favorite fishing holes at Willow Rock. Built of native stone with no cut edges, the tomb appeared to spring from the side of the hill as if it was part of the terrain. Workmen blasted through 18 feet of solid rock to form the burial chamber, and the 24-square-foot room was lined with a 12-inch steel-reinforced concrete wall. The chamber was air-conditioned, and a telephone was installed. Inside the mausoleum is a circular rotunda outlined by 8 columns of St. Cecilia marble imported from Italy, which rises 10 feet to a dome. The walls are covered with thousands of mosaic tiles, and in the center of the room is an 8-pointed star formed by the different shades of marble. Construction took about a year, and as soon as it was completed, Frank had Jane's casket brought from White Rose Cemetery, and a memorial service was held at the new mausoleum. To his friends and staff, Mr. Phillips seemed happier than at any time in recent years. His final work was completed, and he could return to the porch of the lodge, which he did until his death on August 23, 1950. The magic of Willow Rock is a story worth sharing, and it can be found everywhere at this national treasure. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo. Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
All right, we got a phone call here on the Green Country Gardener program. Good morning, you're on the air and welcome.
Good morning. I enjoyed listening to your show.
Thank you.
I've got a fig tree. It's got probably 24 unripe figs on it.
Oh, man.
I don't think it's going to, they're going to have a chance to get ripe. We don't have enough warm weather left with them. What have I got to do to keep this thing from starting over every year after the freeze?
Starting over? To keep it from starting
over? Yeah, just, right. All of the above ground stems on which the figs grow will die off, and they won't come back. This is the third or fourth year I've had this thing.
Do a heavy mulch on the ground to try to keep the soil temperature as constant as possible. It's probably the best thing you can do. And don't let it get too dry in the winter.
Okay, keep them getting too dry too.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one thing I haven't done.
Right.
Pretty much, whatever it gets, is what it gets.
This is a strange year for figs. I've been to several houses that have figs, and the fruit developed late this year. And you're in kind of the same boat with that. So,
okay. Well, I'm going to harvest them. I understand that there's some kind of recipe you can use to cook green figs. So,
oh, interesting.
See what I can do.
Make some green fig Newtons.
Okay. Right.
Hey, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
What do we got at the shop, Larry?
Golly, we've got all kinds of pansies right now in good shape. House plants showing some good color. And we're doing landscaping. Time to winterize that sprinkler system, too.
Yes.
There's a lot of things to do in the garden at this time of the year. Getting things ready. Don't let things get too dry. And if you don't have a good layer of mulch on the ground, you might want to consider getting one. And by all means, keep that shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
All righty, stay tuned. News is next.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 90. 90-